good evening. Now being recorded.
Oops, sorry.
Yes, good morning, morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Thank you.
Now we have it recorded.
Welcome to DCLD Subsequent Procedure Subteam Track 4, IDN's Technical and Operations, held on the 20th of June, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Cheryl Langdon-Orr. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry. Cheryl Langdon-Orr, and with deference to Jeff Newman's comment in chat, I'm going to have to say, g'day, because that's really Australian. So I could be worse than sounding as Australian as I do, but I'm afraid I am, so there you are. So g'day, Jeff. Right, enough of that frivolity. If we can just have the next slide, Terry, so we can have a quick review of the agenda. And while that's coming up, if anybody has an update to their statements of interest, if they'd let us know now. Not seeing any hands raised and not hearing anybody make anything known, I'll just remind you all that should you have any change to your statements of interest, obviously that is germane to the work we are doing, we do ask you to not only update your file copy of the statement of interest on the website, but also let us know at the following call, and that goes for all of the work teams, regardless of our topic. So with that, I will ask, is there any other business that anyone wishes to raise now? We'll call again at the end of the meeting for AOB, but if anyone has any matter they'd like to raise now so we can note it. Not hearing anything? Let's move on. And we've got both Avery and Jeff today, so which of you is going to, next slide, Terry, sorry, I didn't get you to move on, give us a brief review from the full working group update. Who's got a short straw today? Jeff's got his hand up. Looks like he's got the microphone. Over to you, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I usually do the full group update for 2 and 4, and Avery gets to do 1 and 3, so still get to do the one a little bit later today, your time, Cheryl. So, full group update. Well, our next full group working group meeting is on Tuesday in Johannesburg, so it's next week, from 8:30 a.m. until noon. During the full group session, each of the work tracks will be reviewing one or two areas in which they would like to have some feedback from the entire, or to the cross community that shows up at that session. Unfortunately, there's a lot of conflicting sessions. I wish that were not the case, but as is usual in the ICANN environment, there's lots of different topics of interest to a lot of different people, and therefore that topic or that full group meeting is overlapping with some other meetings that are going on. Obviously, the big sessions for this full working group will be geographic name sessions on both Tuesday and Thursday, as reported in the email that I sent around to the full group, or that Avery and I sent around to the full group. We have retained the services of CBI, Consensus Building Institute, to assist us with facilitating those two sessions. And if things go well, hopefully a little bit after as well. We also sent around, if you have not read it yet, a matrix of our best shot at trying to put each of the proposals into, or how they address different categories, and to try to compare the different proposals. And then we submitted a straw person, which I'm going to try and do my best not to call it a proposal. It's really just an attempt to throw something out there that combines a number of different proposals into this straw person. and really hopefully will be a starting point for discussions on Tuesday and Thursday next week. Finally, in preparation for those geographic sessions, our CBI will be reaching out to those that submitted proposals to try to get some more background on the issues and understand.
Is it just my audio, or have we all lost Jeff?
Cheryl, it's Terry. I confirm we all lost Jeff.
Okay, Terry, I'll leave that up to you to sort him out.
So this is Aubrey. Perhaps I should try to finish.
Thank you, Aubrey. Please go ahead.
Okay. So, and I don't think that there's that much more to say. But we're really hoping that people do read through all of that material and basically look on the straw person as sort of a creative way to try and take care of the interests. But, you know, there may be many more ways. At our last meeting, we basically went through the last of the three issues on rounds versus first come, first serve. So hopefully we'll get more, encouraging all of you to go to those documents and put in some edits. At this point, I think that's about it for the moment, and I'll turn it back to you. Thanks.
Sorry, I was having trouble. Can you hear me now?
No, we can't hear.
Right. I'm having a devil's own job coming off mute. Every time I push the button, it seemed to do the reverse. My apologies. Thanks, Avery. And I'm assuming we'll get Jeff back in the fullness of time. Alan, I think straw bunnies are still the term of art that many of us are using, but maybe Jeff just objects to straw bunnies. I don't know. there we are. Straw bunnies was the first draft, and straw purses when Jeff must be the next draft. All right, enough of the nomenclature. If we can have the next slide, thanks, Terry. And here I'm going to hand over to Rubens, because clearly I am not capable of conducting a more mature discussion on anything. Let's see if we can drive some consensus, or at least as it's listed here, some tentative consensus on some of the matters we've been discussing today. And at this point, if any of you also have any questions or issues you want to raise based on your readings from the material that Rubens recently published to our list, I'm quite sure if you were to put it in a chat as a question, we'd be delighted to deal with it at the same time. Over to you, Rubens.
Thank you, Cheryl. We're having a very bold agenda for today, because our actual goal is to not cover it all, is to leave something for Johannesburg, so we can discuss things in person, but we'll stop when time runs out. But everything's going to be handled in Johannesburg, if not handling this call. So there will be plenty of time for every topic that is out there in the list. So we could move to the next slide, please. The first point I'd like to raise is one that I really thought that we reached consensus until CC2 came out. Because most people were seemed happy with the idea that applicants should only need to demonstrate technical capability after evaluation, after application time, as I said. But there is one issue raised with CC2 that was quite to the point, which was if someone at late in the process would then say, oh, and see what, now I have a technical infrastructure that I would like to be evaluated. So that's the issue that was corrected in this possible language, which although I read that the main idea is that applicants could say, hey, this is the infrastructure that I'm proposing, and but this would need to be done at application time. Say, hey, I'm applying for this DTLD, and this is my infrastructure. Or, alternatively, it could he or she could check a box and say, hey, I'm not suggesting any technical infrastructure, but I agree to use any other technical infrastructure that is already being validated. Note that this doesn't mean that we need a registry service provider program or a pre-approved backend provider. Just say that if there is such a thing, it could be used, but if not, it could be a provider that has also applied in the same route in other applications. So if I apply it to dot ABC, and someone else applies to dot DEF, but dot DEF has a backend, and that backend was validated, that could also be used by dot ABC when dot ABC comes to signing the agreement and moving on to delegation. So it doesn't, this doesn't decide that there's the need for RSP, because this is not even our task. It's another work track task to define that. But if there is, this is compatible. This is compatible with both the having an RSP program and not when not existing. So we read the proposed language, which reads that applicants must be able to demonstrate their technical capability to run a registry operation for the purpose that the applicant sets out, either by submitting it to evaluation at application time or agreeing to use a previously approved infrastructure. So on this language, anybody that wishes to comment something, object suite, I think I addressed Anne's question, but if Anne disagrees with me, please say so. So, everybody's thinking, some people are typing.
Reuben, did you address the question Anne posed in chat? Does the previously approved infrastructure mean previously approved backend provider?
I thought I have addressed it, but now I mean Anne's question, what the meaning of infrastructure. By infrastructure, yes, it means backend provider, backend registry operator. It's possibly something that when the work group set a final report, we should probably harmonize language. But so far, we just agreed to define terms that say technical infrastructure is the registry service provider, backend registry operator, backend provider, and any other alternative name that someone might use to it. Cheryl mentioned that harmonized language will be useful, but it's quite possible that we need to harmonize among all tracks in the full work group. So, let's see if anybody's typing anything else. Going once, going twice. No objections, so we record as no objections and move to the next slide. Uh, the exercise is something that came early in the process and nobody objected throughout the process and even during CC2 comments for technical evaluation to be performed as aggregated or consolidated as feasible. That could be tied to a healthy service provider program or not. Because even without such a program, consolidation could be done in the same procedure, whether it's around a window or something like that. And we are just saying that this could, evaluation could be consolidated even among different applicants. So if two applicants apply it using the same back-end service, that could also be consolidated. One of the key words here is the word may, meaning that there is no obligation to do that, just an stimulus, so I can use that to gain efficiency in the process. And those efficiencies quite likely could be used to lower the fees, lower the application fees. But this is not a requirement for the ICANN organization to do such a consolidation. It's an allowance for them to do such consolidation because they mentioned a number of times that they thought that based on the previous policy, they couldn't consolidate. So now you're saying, hey, you can consolidate and gain efficiency in the process. We have a question by Anne that I will see that timing of consideration evaluation of an application on would depend on who the backend provider is. No, we are not. Those efficiencies could or could not make some applicants move faster in the process, and it's about if anything that needs to be equalized so people are treated equally, that would be done further down the road. So this doesn't apply to when or how fast applicants will move. That's a definition that's not up to this. This is only to say that efficiencies are a goal, and but when those goals are achieved, whether they will be used to reduce time or not, or if there is some kind of fairness criteria among applicants, this is a totally different question. I believe it's not in scope for Track 4. I mentioned that it seems prejudicial to new entrants in the arena of back-end registry operator services. If so, that could be if there is no such thing as a registry service provider program. Because if there is such new entrants to back-end services, could apply first to the being that program previous to the opening of the procedure, which is something that quite happened already. For instance, Sierra, which is now the backend provider for .kiwi, wasn't evaluated in the 2012 round, but now they have been evaluated and they are now providing services. So the timing factor is something that any business needs to address, but it can be done before if we provide the ways to do so. We have a comment that's more on fairness and priority, but on the consolidation specifically, any objections, either audio objections or if someone prefers to object by red X or something in the Adobe connection chat, going once, going twice, So we go to the next slide.
And show here to the preferred language.
If Anne could elaborate the question in the chat while we go to the slide, if you need to go back to that slide as well. This slide reads about financial evaluation that's to be performed in aggregation of a registered family. This is something that was raised along the process, that financial evaluation was done on a per application basis. So they might have overlooked when what could happen if someone got all the TLDs they applied for, but may not have the money to operate that many TLDs if they got it. So what's written here is that applicants must be able to demonstrate their financial and organization operational capability in tandem for all currently owned and applied for TLDs that would become part of a single registered family. Answering the question that I'm putting in the chat, registered family is a term that is already defined by DDD, which is a registry that is all the registries that are part of a single controlling interest. So they even have a list on DDD, on ICANN website, of which ones are the registries for family, no matter what is where the TLD is owned by a registry that owns a single TLD, and then another company owns that company, and another company owns that other company, which is a real case for some TLDs. So that is already defined in item and in the agreement what is a registry family. So this is taking that definition. Cheryl suggested us to go to the last slide, but this team, you know what the her question was. I know that she's listing only mode.
Cheryl here, Rubens. At the time you called for objections to the possible language on the last slide, that is when Anne put up her question, object to what? Now, because she can't scroll, I suggested that we went back, thank you very much, to that possible language so she could read it, and no one did object, but just to make sure that she has no objections. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Looks like we're okay. I'm sure we'd have got a reaction if not. I just didn't want to push through too fast, Rubens, in case things didn't get, if we got out of sync too much, people might be, you know, too far behind. Okay, I'll stop interfering and leave it back to you. My apologies.
Thanks, Cheryl. I think you might be referenced that we haven't read the actual language, so let's read it just to make sure. Technical evaluation may be aggregated and or consolidated to the maximum extent possible that generates process efficiencies, including both different applications from the same applicant and different applications sharing a common technical infrastructure. So that was the language that I asked if there were no objections for. So, going once, going twice, no objections. So, go back to the financial evaluation slide, which is, okay, it's this slide. already mentioned what are the reasoning for people to suggest that, and the possible language that would go to that effect would be: applicants must be able to demonstrate their financial and organizational operational capability in tandem for all currently owned and applied for PLDs that would become part of a single registry family. Let's give people some time to think on it and to type on it. Jeff mentioned that family needs a definition, so we need to borrow a definition from ICANN. Although we have some ICANN staffers here, I think no one volunteers to the definition, so we can add that definition and move this team back to the need more conversation. Just mention affiliate is what builds the structure. The registry family is the end result of the structure. I think that the definition needs to be more worked out. So let's move to the next slide, noting that this one is not at a tentative consensus status, but it will be moved to the next session. Next, we have our favorite session for some people, which is the IDN-related session. We have many issues that are related to that. The first is universal acceptance, which, although not uniquely tied to IDNs, one of the most pain points for IDNs is actually universal acceptance. Most of the conversation we had, including the universal acceptance steering group chair, found that people were usually satisfied with them taking the lead on those efforts. The only comment we got from some commenters were that applicants should be made aware of the effort they are doing and universal acceptance challenges as a whole. So the proposed language here reads: some new generic top level domains should be internationalized domain names, IDNs. The applicants should be made aware of universal acceptance challenges in ASCII and IBM TLDs. Which sounds very uncontroversial, but let's see what people think. Any objections to such a language? I know that there are some questions in the chat. Regarding the past slide, and I will go back to as soon as we clear this one. why do people think, oh, we have Avery wanting to comment. Please, Avery, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Avery speaking. I do want to point out that you have a procedural objection from Anne, which you probably should address, but that's not why I raised my hand. I'm just sort of noticing, I mean, having read these before, but reading again, we have to be careful of the word should be IDNs. I understand why applicants should be aware, and in fact, I might say must be made aware, because should usually means must, but there might be some exceptions. I'm not sure what the exceptions would be to notifying people. So you should think about that language, but that they should be internationalized domain names. I think, that's aspirational. We hope there's a lot of internationalized domain names being applied for, but I'm not sure to what extent it's a should, that there's some sort of directive there. So I just, warn you that that there will be further questions on the word should at other times in this group. So think through the use of those words. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. I think that risking using should here, that if no one applies to an IDN TLD, then someone could say that, hey, this whole procedure needs to be frozen or invalidated, because the principal said that should be some names should be IDNs, and some would sound like a plural, so you need at least two IDN TLD applicants in a process for a process to be valid. So I've got a point here, and we'll move back to address that. I know that while the original should is from the original principles, it's up to us to correct those that language, even if that language was already used. Even though they are our default starting point, we don't have to accept them all as immutable truths. So Avery, is that an old hand or a new hand?
It's a resurgent hand. You scared me when you spoke about that meant if there are any applications for IDNs, we should freeze the window or freeze the round. That has a whole lot of policy implications that I don't think we've talked about. So I raise a caution flag on that derivative notion that should, therefore, may mean we freeze an application with no ADNs. People may look at IDNs and go, they're not useful to me to apply for this sum of money, et cetera. I don't think we want to say that if none are applied for, therefore we want to freeze a process. But so I raise a caution flag on that one. It just scared me.
Thanks, Avery, but I was just following and accepting your question. So that's unfortunately outcome of that interpretation. Next, we have Alan.
Thank you. A few different things. First of all, Anne has made a couple of comments in the chat, which I tend to support. Cheryl said this is the first read-through. I take that as the first time we are discussing it. First read-through is not the same as the formal term first reading that we have been using. So I am presuming that this is simply a discussion of the group and not a first reading. So if that's wrong, I think someone needs to make that point really clear. That's number one. Number two, I certainly agree with Avery that we may well be in a position that all of the things we didn't know about IDNs at the time the first round happened are now better understood. We weren't having the discussion of universal acceptance at that point. We didn't have the evidence that a significant number of the IDN TLDs are not attracting huge numbers of second-level domains. So we don't know what's going to happen, and I certainly don't think we can, if we go ahead and accept applications, that we can make it contingent on some innocent people putting in IDN applications. They may happen in droves, or they may not happen at all, and I don't think we have any control over it. I also think we need to, in this group, understand the universal acceptance issues better than we do right now. Certainly better than I do right now. For instance, there's all sorts of gating functions on IDN TLDs and IDN domain names that I don't fully understand. I've never done a Google search where I get an IDN result. And I assume that's deliberate, that Google is not giving me those results, because I'm sure some of the searches I've done would resolve with hits on some of these IDN TLDs. And so there's a lot of issues going on that I don't think we're fully aware of, and I think we need to understand it more before we finish this whole process. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Now I'd like to address more of the procedural issues that have been raised. This section consists only of topics where there has already been discussion, but these are the contents that after those discussions or conversations with ICANN organization, and conversations with ESSEC, CC2 comments. So this is us restarting the process for those. And for all of these, we are trying to see whether this looks like something that group will converge on or not. So these things are mostly already defined or content either have been raised in a previous call or has been raised in some comments. So these are mostly not new content, just new language. If we go to the next slide, please.
Rubens, can I jump in? Sorry, this is Jeff.
Yes. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. Just wanted to respond to Alan's last intervention. It would be great to know what questions, Alan, that you or others have in terms of what things you'd like to know prior to kind of, prior to agreeing to some language, whatever that ends up being. I think in the first guidebook there was a warning, sorry, not the first one, but the last final applicant guidebook, there was a warning. But perhaps this one we could recommend a much more comprehensive discussion of what problems an IDN applicant, or for that matter, even an ASCII applicant may face and potential solutions to those. Although, to be honest, most of the issues are really controlled by third parties outside the control of a registrar or any of the players that usually show up to ICANN meetings, which is one of the whole problems with universal acceptance issue to begin with. So it would be good to document some of the types of things that Alan has questions on, and perhaps maybe even make a recommendation that universal acceptance issues are, you know, either put into the guidebook or put as a supplement to the guidebook so that anyone applying for CLBs understands the risks. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I think Alan is going to respond to you.
Yeah, thank you. It's Alan speaking. I don't think we're saying anything very different. You're saying that there should be some more information in depth. I don't remember the exact phrase you used to make sure that applicants understand. And I'm simply saying I think this group should have access to that same information, not it be written sometime after we finish our policy. So I don't think we're violently disagreeing with each other. I just think we need to be aware of anything that we're asking the applicants to be aware of. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. On this issue, I'd just like to mention that at some point, some people mention more strict rules for applicants, like requiring them to inform registrants of possible universal acceptance issues and so forth, but those has not gained traction. So this is only something that seemed more controversial, that applicants should be warned that such challenges in universal acceptance exist. Next we have Security and Stability Review, which is something that was not very clearly defined in the guidebook, but most of it was testing of IBM rendering. This was changed after conversations with ICANN organization staff, specifically Salman Hussein. So possible language has been adapted to the fact that this is perhaps not computationally possible to detect all uncompliances or non-followings of IBNA standards and top-level label generation rules. Not just one of those, but possibly verifying both of them. It's not something that could be done 100% by the submission system. So what the language says is just that the organization should verify it algorithmically as long as it's feasible. So if someone submits an IBM that the system can automatically detect that it's invalid, for instance, some IBM with mixed scripts, with one character in Latin language, one character in Cyrillic language, and one character in Chinese language, which is not valid to the current guidelines, then it should automatically reject instead of allowing this application to move on and then later be thrown out. But there are situations that might happen that this is not feasible, so those situations will still require security and stability review by ICANN itself or some contractor. And now we have Sarmad Hussein, so educator of IBM. Please go on, Sarmad. Sarmad, I think you are still on mute.
DNA 2008, obviously the RFC.
Sarmad, if you could restart from the beginning, I think now we can. So if you could restart from the beginning of your talk.
Okay. So I have a couple of comments. First, though the RFCs which are listed are relevant for IDNA 2008, I just wanted to note that some of these are informational and some are standards track. I think one thing we should probably discuss is whether we only want to refer to the standards track RFCs or also include the informational RFCs in addition. The second point I wanted to make was that the root zone LGR, which is, I guess, referred to as top-level LGRs here, is a singular LGR. It's not a plural. So it's one LGR, and actually should be referred to as a singular and not plural. Thank you.
Thank you, Samad. And do you take an action item on correcting those and only mention compliance with requirement documents of whatever nature, either IPS standards or other requirements where they establish something that needs to be followed. I just make a note that this language would unfortunately for some defenders of emoji TLDs not allow them, but that's not something that is allowed anyway. So, Salmad, is that a new hand? Or an old hand?
It's an old hand.
I think it's an old hand. Even though we already know there's some cosmetic change we need to make, I'll just read out what the language says. Compliance with IDNA 2008, RFCs that are numbered in the slides or its successor and applicable top-level LGR should be verified algorithmically as valid or invalid by the submission system to the maximum extent feasible, leaving manual invalidation as a last resort mechanism. But we already know there is some adjustment that need to be done. Just reading for the record and for benefit of those who are hearing this call afterwards. So if we could move to the next slide, please. The next slide is the first tentative language for something that people generally agree in principle, but when it comes to more defined terms, they usually start to disagree. So it's a good opportunity here for us to start that conversation. One comment we got from CC2 is a correction that is usually mentioned one character TLDs, and when Unicode character TLD is not actually one character TLD. IDN TLD is usually at least seven letters because it's XN dash dash and three other letters according to the IDNA encoding. First attempt on this is that one Unicode character TLDs will be allowed for script language combinations where a character is an ideograph or ideogram, provided they are not country and or territory names and do not introduce confusion risks that rise above commonplace similarities, consistent with reports that already been done here. And there are two. One is the SAC advice. It was SAC 52. It was one of the SAC advices that SAC pointed us, was in CC2. And the other was a joint system, a SOGNSO work group, was the mention. And most of the language in those reports are consistent between those two reports and among all reports. They really say to be cautious, to allow them, but do not engaged in allowing charities that could represent security risks, confusion risks, etc. But for some reason, even though those advices were readily available at the last round, the last round ended up forbidding these web charity idea and TLDs. So it's possibly most a case of us moving along with consensus that were already built into the community for allowing those and move them along. We have a comment from Jeff Newman about removing the reference to country and territory names. One problem with broadening the scope here is that we need to be in the remit of the GNSO. So we need to establish that these are possible generic TLDs and not possible CCTLDs. And it's not just a matter of accepting one or another, but I'll let Jeff contradict me. Please go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. I don't think it's the role of this section, the technical section, to comment on country, territory names, or geographic, or to distinguish between, you know, those types of things. I think if we say, either at the beginning, except as otherwise prohibited in guidebook, Unicode character details will be allowed for script, language combination where a character is an ideograph and does not introduce confusion risks, blah, 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 blah. So I don't think we need to say anything about country or territory names here. We could provide references or cross-references. I just provided two potential ways to say it where you can get rid of the term country and or territory names. I just don't think this is the place in the guidebook or in the recommendations where we should be referencing geographic or reserved names or anything else, right? Because there's other things that in theory could be prohibited, even though we allow the general principle of one Unicode character GTLD. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Next we have Alan, and later I put myself in the queue.
Thank
you. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. It's Alan speaking. Just a caution about the words ideograph or ideogram. We need to make sure that these are defined in the sense we're using them here. In the common usage in English, I don't think they're the correct terms. For instance, a mathematical equal sign or a plus sign is an ideogram. Yet we're not talking about that being a valid TLD. So I think we're just going to we'll make sure we need precision here. And if these terms are defined in terms of the Chinese, Korean, Japanese character sets or languages, that's fine. But we need to make sure that we are precise. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Answering Regional Jeff's question, one way we could remove the reference to country and territory names would be reference to GTLDs. And you already have one word, GTLD word, in that phrase. We could expand it on that just to confirm that we are within our remit, that we are not going to somebody else's turf, and do not remove the explicit reference to country territory names that I understand are usually prone to sensitivities. And we can tune that up to that effort. Considering we are almost near our time today, this is possibly a good is like for us to have a stop and ask for questions among all the content that is already being discussed and possibly any other business. So I move back to Charu. Go ahead, Charu.
Thank you very much, Rubens, and thank you very much, everyone, for a good and forwarding robust discussion. Often we have robust discussions in ICANN that don't necessarily seem to be taking topics forward, but I think we are creeping forward on this one, so thank you very much, one and all. We are almost to the top of the hour. Anne, I note your suggestion that the slides are in a format that allows redlining of the proposed language. I'll leave that up to the wizards of staff, etc., that will be sending out notes as well as the once done updated slide deck, because we've had a couple of edits that we need to make in a few of these slides today. I don't use Microsoft products, so if I try any of that, it just mucks up, and of course I don't see redlining at all because I don't use the Microsoft products. But we will do our best to find some way to allow for some redline text for those of you who do that, to be created. They're not large lumps of text. We perhaps might cut and paste them into a shareable Google Docs or something similar. So leave that with us, Anne. We will do something, and we'll do something as soon as possible. And with that, unless anyone has any other business, and I'm not hearing any, we'll take that action item regarding trying to create a editable text, and we will also take the action item to do the distribution as soon as practical. I'm afraid my assistant has just hit the edit. Sorry, the advantages of having a two-year-old help you at the desk. She just unmuted my computer at a most inopportune time. Yes, Cheryl's for the power of whatever that was, and she thinks she's very clever. While I stop giggling, I'd like to thank you all for today's call and wish you all a good morning, good evening, or good night, depending on where you are in the world. And for those of you who are travelling to the Johannesburg meeting, do travel safely, and we will see some of you there. Bye for now.
And once again, the meeting has been adjourned. So thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a lovely rest of your day.